Chapter 7. Ghazan had time to realize the Orc Witch was launching an attack. He had time to raise his own defenses against it. There was even time for the Eldar to redirect fire against the Orc. Time to know that this greenskin must be prevented from striking this blow. All that time, but no time to stop the attack. Ghazan saw it all go wrong in precise, acid-etched detail. He saw the irony that Telathia must have known what was coming, and though he heard her begin to cry, "No!" in Gothic, the crude medium of speech was too slow. He saw the orc aim its staff, not at him, but at the grid of cages. He saw the muzzle of his bolt pistol come into line with the witch's head. He felt his finger squeeze the trigger. All too late. Far, far too late. The energy discharge from the staff was enormous. The flash alone heated the air to the point that flesh on the nearest orcs burned. What it caused when it hit the cages was of another order again. The concentrated psychic strength of the Eldar prisoners was released all at once. The power that had teleported tanks lost all coherence. The chamber vanished from Ghazan's sight. The defense he had raised at the last second saved his identity from being ripped apart, its particulate echoes thrown to the warp. Even so, he was caught in an explosion that was the death scream of 100 souls and sheer physical destruction. Blasts hit his mind and body at the same time. He held fast to his consciousness. His material self was hurled through the air. He couldn't see where he flew. There was no up, no down, no direction. Only the blind silver shriek. The roar of flame, the battering by stone and iron. The blast that came through the tunnel was not a simple explosion. The light that engulfed Kusala's squad and the orcs was not from the visible spectrum. It was not from the materium at all. Yet it blinded all the same. It struck like a spear to the brain. Kusala's very name started to slip from his grasp. He snatched at it and at his oath of moment, and so it was as a sergeant of the White Scars that he shouted, "Remember who you are. You are Adeptus Astartes. You are the Sword of Chogoris. You are the sons of Jagatai Khan." He didn't know if he was heard. The words were being spoken by someone a great distance away. Perhaps he spoke them only to himself, but they were the truth, and the truth was a potent weapon against the chaos that sought to devour them all. He could not see, he could not feel his limbs, but he knew they were there, and when he commanded his arm to swing, he was sure that it did. Even in the midst of a storm of disintegration, he attacked the enemy. The wave receded, taking the pain with it. Kusala could see again. Another scout, Yekijin, was down, perhaps felled by the psychic explosion, but now hacked apart by the orc's chain blades. Most of the greenskins who had been in the tunnel were also down. Some were dead. Others were writhing on the ground, clutching their heads. Their eyes had burst. Bloody foam was at their mouths. A few, the largest, still stood and were fighting, but their movements were slow, their blows inaccurate. The orcs in the cavern had been spared the worst of the blast, but they were stunned, sluggish. With quick, vicious jabs of his tulwar, Kusala eviscerated the orc before him. He saw that Arik was still dazed. He step-lunged forward, caught another orc in the chest. The brute rocked back, but came at them again. Kusala shook Arik's shoulder as he blocked another of the orc's blows.
Scout! He shouted. You are at war!
Arik returned to the present moment and shot the orc. It took 3 shells to kill it. Kusala and Arik retreated up the slope. From inside the assembly bay came the sounds of pursuit as the orcs recovered. The battle wagons had stalled. Now they growled once more. The green horde and its machines of destruction were on the move.
Do we stand and fight? Arik asked. Our duty is not martyrdom, Kusala snapped.
He led them upwards at a run.
Our duty is to delay the orcs long enough for the rest of the Mingan to arrive.
2 of us?
Arik sounded game, but skeptical.
3!
Kusala allowed himself a moment of grim humor.
We will rejoin Tegusal. We will not defeat the Greenskins, but we can slow them down.
The slope went on for at least another 1,000 meters. Some of the turns were sharp, though the width was always enough to allow the passage of the tanks. The sides of the wall were scraped where the orcs had barreled through with more speed than care. Kusala saw daylight after the 3rd twist. 1 more turn, and there was Tegusal. A few dozen orc corpses were stacked on either side of the exit to the surface. The door was a single steel slab, 10 meters long, held open by hydraulic arms. From back in the tunnel came the clamor of the orcs.
Any word from the Khan?
Kusala asked Tegusal.
He's coming, Brother Sergeant. They all are.
How long?
I don't know. The vox went out when we were hit by that...
He hesitated, lacking an adequate word for the event.
A surge of some kind, Kusala said. It doesn't matter what it was. What is important is that the orcs do not break out until our brothers reach us.
We might be able to collapse the tunnel, Arik offered. We could seal them in.
The sounds of riot were louder yet. Kusala shook his head.
No time, he pointed at the arms. Drop this door.
2 cracked grenades were enough to melt the supports at their base. The white scars moved outside as the door slammed down with a reverberating boom.
This won't hold them long, Arik said. They'll burn or blast their way through.
And we will be here when they do,
Kusala said.
Brother Sergeant, I know I could have rigged the ceiling in time.
Perhaps. And are you sure this is their only exit?
No,
Arik admitted.
We have their heavy armor held at this spot. They won't retreat before a simple shut door. You're right. They will break it down.
He turned to scan the horizon. In the distance, he could see a cloud of dust. The full strength of the 5th Brotherhood was coming to punish the temerity of the Greenskins.
When the orcs open that door, he said, they'll be letting us in.
The heat faded before the psychic glare did. Ghazan knew this only because the cavern was already cooling when he could think again. The ripples of the soul death subsided. He was no longer being swamped by the doom of others. The details of the material world returned in stages. First, he realized that he was no longer in motion. He was lying on his back. Then the darkness registered as being the actual absence of light. Next came the awareness of great weight. Last was the warmth of his blood on his face. The wounds on his forehead were already sealed. He was buried. He pushed against the wreckage. Metal, a great deal of it, but not stone. He pushed harder. The weight shifted. It gave him hope that there had not been a cave-in. He worked both his hands up to chest level, then shoved outwards. His arms were great pistons, and the remains of the orc machines fell away from him. Ghazan stood up, testing bones and armor. Vital systems still intact. The heaviness was worse, but he could compensate for it. His body was as unbroken as his mind. He was the only thing unbroken in the cave. The machine had spread its death across the entire width of the chamber. The explosion had reduced it to melted slag and blackened, twisted bars. The corpses of its prisoners were contorted husks enmeshed in the metal. The only light in the cavern came from the blue flame burning at the mouths of broken conduits. The orcs were all dead. Their bodies were incinerated. Many had died from forces other than fire. Ghazan saw skull after skull that had split open, the grey matter inside bursting out like a violent cancer. No Eldar was still standing either. The elegance of their armor was destroyed. It was fragments and angles as ruined as the bodies inside. The door to the teleporter cave had been peeled back by the force of the blast. The space beyond was just as wrecked. The platform appeared to have exploded. Large chunks of metal shrapnel were scattered about the cavern. Ghazan saw several corpses that had been cut in half by the flying debris. There was no sign of the orc Psyker in either cavern. The engineer, too, had made its escape. Ghazan clenched his fists. His frustration was mixed with the intimation of destiny that still tormented him. He had thought the moment of battle had come in this chamber. Its delay was maddening. The full reckoning still waited. He heard movement behind him. He turned. Where the grid's control mechanisms had been, the rubble shifted. Ghazan approached, bolt pistol at the ready. The movement stopped. Ghazan pulled the wreckage away. Telathia lay beneath it, broken but still breathing. Ghazan didn't think she would be for much longer.
"The orc," she said.
The helmet's amplifier still worked, giving her voice a volume at odds with the terminal pain.
"Escaped," Ghazan said.
"Yes,"
she spoke with resignation, not surprise.
"You will find it."
"I know."
"When you do, please finish what we came to do."
Ghazan looked at the bodies in the wrecked cages.
"It is finished," he said. "Your kin are no longer enslaved."
"No."
A long pause and an even longer one between her breaths. Each exhalation seemed to expel a bit more of her being.
"Our great mission is as incomplete as yours."
"There are more prisoners?"
"One more. The orcs must not have him. Free Merentalas, please."
When Ghazan hesitated, she said,
"It is what you are called to do, just as we were called to die for your mission."
He stared at her, wishing he could see behind the ornate but faceless helmet.
"Called? By necessity."
The implications of what she was saying sank in.
"You knew you were going to die?"
"It was..."
Pause, rattling breath.
"It was the only way to ensure your success. And through you, the ultimate fulfillment of our duty.
You assume much?
No, nothing. You will see. Our fates this day are not our own. They are but steps in the culmination of another's. There was never any choice.
A very long breath, like a sigh down an endless tunnel. My fate is dictated by that of the White Scars, Ghazan said. There was no answer. He waited. She was still. He knew the Eldar had spoken the truth, at least as she understood it. He suspected that her perception of time's unraveling was more acute than his own. Though being indebted to anything Xenos was distasteful to him, he had incurred a debt of honor here. He looked down at the Psyker.
I will free him, he said.
Their missions were still braided. Never any choice. Wasn't that what he maintained? Then why did the words haunt him? Outside the vehicle entrance to the complex, the Vox network started functioning again. At the same time, the blows began on the other side of the door. Based on the sounds Kusala heard, the orcs were beginning by hammering the metal with fists and weapons as if sheer aggression would open the way for them.
We have a few minutes, Kusala told Temur, no more.
We are not far, Brother Sergeant. Prime them for our greetings.
The impacts on the other side became louder. Kusala guessed that grenades were being used. It wouldn't be long before the orcs thought to use the battle wagon's cannons. He stood to one side of the entrance, Arik and Tegusal on the other, bolters ready.
The second a hole appears, he said. Open fire! Discourage their approach!
He looked back at the dust cloud. It was growing larger. The Khan was near. The orcs used their big guns sooner than he had thought. The first shot did not destroy the door, but shook it hard. Debris rolled down from the earthen rise in which the door was set. The next shell punched a hole the size of a man. Tegusal tossed a frag through it. The howls that greeted the explosion were gratifying. Then the cannon fired again. It kept firing, puncturing a new hole in the meter's thick metal each time. The door remained intact and held down by its own weight, longer than Kusala could have hoped. The shelling stopped. An engine revved. Something huge rumbled towards the door. The impact smashed the weakened metal apart, and the battle wagon charged out into the daylight, the battering ram face wide with victory. Kusala charged back inside the tunnel, Arik and Tegusal at his heels. There was no fighting the battle wagon on foot. If death was inevitable, it would come at a cost to the orcs. The greenskins were coming up the slope, a mob in fury. Behind them came another tank. It crushed the slower orcs under its wheels. And yet it was not firing, though the passengers on its roof were. Bullets careened off the stone on all sides of Kusala. Rounds smacked into his armor. They didn't slow him down. He roared back at the orcs, and so did his scouts. The three of them made their run at the orcs as if there were hundreds of their battle brothers at their sides. Kusala threw his final two frag grenades ahead of him. They were joined a beat later by four more as Arik and Tegusal followed suit. A minor artillery barrage hit the orcs. The tunnel was almost wide enough for two battle wagons to drive abreast, but it was still a confined space for such a concentrated burst of explosives. A score of orcs died immediately. Their bodies were reduced to jagged bone shrapnel, impaling still more. The horde's advance stumbled as the orcs pushing from behind tripped over the bodies of the dead. Barely a second behind the blasts, Kusala slammed into the orcs. Tolwar in one hand, bolt pistol in the other, he slashed throats and burst skulls. The scouts followed his model. They showed the orcs that speed was not dependent on engines and wheels. Kusala's tulwar was more a blur than a blade. His prey did not see it until after he had severed their windpipes. When a brute tried to hit him with an axe or machete, the tulwar was already in defensive position, arresting the blow while the pistol came up and delivered a mass reactive shell to the orc's snarling visage. Kusala killed in spirals. He made it hard for the orcs to anticipate his movements. He was never still. As one orc fell, he was already striking the next. The two scouts showed they had absorbed every lesson of their training. They had nothing like the protection of his power armor. It was even more vital that they move quickly, and they did. Reduced to half strength, outnumbered by orders of magnitude, the squad cut the orcs down. The scouts were scythes from the steppes of Chogoris, reaping a harvest of death. The orcs were strong. They were not stunned long, and they were not passive before an enemy. If ever there was a species bred for the single purpose of war, Kusala knew it was the orcs. For each one he killed, three more were there, their hunger for battle undiminished. And they were strong. He was able to put them down quickly, but even these, the common infantry of the orcs, were more resilient than they should be. The battle wagon continued to move forwards. It would have the scouts under its wheels in the next few seconds. Behind it was yet another tank. Tegusal went down. His legs were chopped from behind by a chain blade. He disappeared beneath the mob of stomping greenskins. The horde pressed tighter yet. Kusala's blade caught in the ribcage of an orc. He stopped moving for a moment, and he was almost borne to the ground. Whirring blades cut at the ceramite of his armor. He fired his pistol into the orc's body, knocking it back and freeing his blade. He swung wide, cutting throats and limbs. He was moving again, but he was more constricted. The sound from the mouth of the tunnel changed. Kusala heard the first battle wagon reversing back into the tunnel. There was another engine noise, too, higher pitched and cleaner. Bikes. The Mingan was here. The maneuver was madness. The space was too restricted. His speed was too great. It was perfect. The battle wagon was in the tunnel entrance. On either side of it, there was enough room for the White Scar's bikes and landspeeders, with no margin for error. Strafing the tank would be like shooting a bullet into the barrel of another gun. Temur didn't slow. Bolters blazing, shells stripping the surprised orcs from the roof of the battle wagon, he plunged past the vehicle and into the tunnel. The walls echoed and amplified the snarl of the bike's engine. He heard the rest of the Brotherhood following his example, shrieking past the tank to become a wall of speeding death descending on the orcs. He heard the concussion of the battle wagon's cannon. It had fired inside the tunnel. Temur could not look to see the result, but he knew that in these initial moments of the incursion, there was no way for the orcs to miss. He had lost at least one more brother, and perhaps more. The destruction he would wreak on the orcs became that much more savage. From the moment he entered the tunnel, only a handful of seconds separated him from the horde below. He saw Kusala and Arik struggling in their midst. He saw the other tank closing in. He heard beyond the curve the approach of yet another. He processed all of this and he reacted. This was war in his element. The rush of events too quick for a mortal to process. The need for reaction at the same instant as perception. The exhilaration of murderous velocity. A tiny correction to the right brought the bike close to the wall. He could have touched it with his hand. Kusala's squad was struggling near the center of the tunnel. Temur aimed his strike along the sides. The twin-linked bolters tore into the orcs. A score died without knowing what had happened. Still without slowing, Temur plowed into the mass of greenskins. He smashed bodies to pulp, ground bones to powder. He rode through the horde, and behind him came his brothers, and now it was the orcs who were trapped in the tunnel, because death, sudden and unstoppable, was upon them. There was no space for the orcs, and there was no time. But there were still tanks. Temur flashed past the battle wagon before its crew could react. He kept going down the tunnel, spotted the next tank, and then another. He kept firing at the vehicles, picking off passengers, but doing little other damage. Shells ricocheted off the monstrous forward shields. He had the crew's attention. He whipped down the tunnel until he was sure there were no more tanks. Then he turned and raced back up the slope along the other wall. Now he could see the Mingan, the long line of bikes and speeders following in his wake, just as fast, just as deadly. They formed a conveyor belt of death. The assault on the orcs was unending. But the battle wagons rolled on. Though they had lost their passengers and some of their crew, their armor was holding up against the bolter fire, and they were firing their cannons. As he shot past the tanks once more, the shells smashed into the walls, missing him by little. The explosions in the tunnel were devastating. Speed was the White Scar's one defense. It wasn't enough. When the shells hit, it was by luck, not by skill, but in this space, with these numbers, the orcs in the battle wagons had the luck they needed. The infantry was in tatters now. Kusala and Arik had jumped onto the nearest tank and were fighting their way in. Good. The Brotherhood was close to causing critical disorder in the orc force. The battle wagons were moving closer together. Any discipline the greenskins had was tenuous. Temur would see it severed.
"Brother Sergeant," he voxed, "you know what has to happen. Depend on it, Temur Khan."
Constant fire. He was draining his ammunition stores. He and his brothers were hitting the orcs with a perpetual disorienting hammering. Even if the shells were still being stopped by the armor, the omnidirectional clamor would have the orcs lashing out on instinct. Their accident would come. At the upward end of the slope, almost at the exit again, Temur saw the accident happen. It was the battle wagon under attack by Kusala that made the error. The sergeant had seen to it. It struck the first tank with its cannon fire. Knowing only that they were being hit by a barrage and now by a vehicle boarded by their enemy, the orcs in the uphill battle wagon responded in kind, turning their full armament on their brothers. The two tanks went to war. The battle wagons rushed together, driven now by the crew's hunger to tear out each other's throats. The next tank arrived. Its crew joined the fray, shelling the nearest target. Kusala's battle wagon was now in the middle of the crossfire. It wouldn't last long. Its crew fought back, though, and was still fighting when the fourth battle wagon arrived. It came around the last bend, and the orcs aboard showed no hesitation before launching into an attack, training their gun on the third tank. Temur saw the masterpiece of confusion take form.
"Keep them surrounded," he ordered. "Concentrate fire on the rear armor."
It was thinner. It would give out. The white scars circled the battle wagons. They were a noose of speed. The larger predators were locked in combat with one another, and the white scars would ensure that there were no victors. The bolter shells hit the rear armor. The cannon fire hit the front. First one, then two of the orc crews realized their mistake and tried to disengage, but it was too late. The battle wagons died close together. The explosive immolation of the first wreaked havoc with the others, and still the battles raged. The tunnel became a maelstrom of fire and sound. If not for the White Scars' discipline and their skill in adapting to the lightning changes in the currents of battle, they would have been sucked into the vortex. The explosions reached a climax. For a few moments, the battle wagons merged into a single being of iron and flame. Then, after being dwarfed by the blasts of fuel tanks and ammunition caches, the guns fell silent. The fires dimmed. What remained in the center of the tunnel was a twisted mass of blackened metal. Temur brought his bike to a halt near the wreckage. The battle had been a costly one. The ruins of 7 more bikes and land speeders were scattered through the tunnel. There was little left of the warriors who had ridden them. He found Kusala and the surviving scout standing before the iron pyre. He pointed to a deep wound that ran from Arik's right temple to the left side of his throat.
"You have fought hard to earn that scar," he said.
Arik bowed his head.
"Only my duty, Temur Khan," he answered.
To Kusala, Temur said,
"Where do we stand? We have accounted for all the completed heavy armor. There are still some partial ones in what appears to be the primary assembly bay."
He pointed back down the tunnel.
"Then the momentum is ours," said Temur. "We will erase what remains of the orc operations here and return to the bastion."
He grunted.
"If it is still standing, this war is far from over."
He paused before asking his next question. He already knew the answer would not please him.
"And Stormsteer Ghazan? He remained with the Eldar." "The Eldar?"
He listened with rising anger while Kusala filled him in.
"What was the purpose of the imprisoning device?" "It appeared to power the teleporter. There was something like an explosion when we lost the use of the Vox. The nature of the explosion..."
Kusala shook his head as if still trying to clear it.
"The explosion was not entirely of the materium." "You think the Stormseer destroyed the teleporter?" "I believe so." "No word since?"
"None." Temur cursed. Ghazan's silence could be chosen, or it could mean he was dead. The implications of the first possibility were, after what Kusala had told him, worse than the second. He did not doubt Ghazan's loyalty. He did not doubt the reality of the Zadyan Arga's visions. What concerned him was Ghazan's judgment and sanity.
"This changes nothing. We proceed as I have said."
As he marched back to his bike, he called Ghazan on the Vox. He had the sensation of sending his demands into a darkness of ruin, a darkness that was not empty. Ghazan stood in the center of the cavern. He was surrounded by the death of machines, the death of bodies, and the death of psychic energy. The emptiness of the space was gigantic. It had been a realm of excess. The life of machines, bodies, and warp sorcery in violent collision had created a psychic atmosphere as dense as the core of a gas giant. Its sudden end created a profound tomb. The great death of the Eldar Psykers was the barrier to his pursuit. The loss reverberated, a powerful null with the lingering scars of agony. But destiny did not end in this place. It still waited beyond the tomb. The time of its unfolding was closer than ever. If only he could reach through the grave void, penetrate this bubble of psychic annihilation. He knew that at least part of the barrier was self-created, a wall that had protected him from the death storm that the orc witch had unleashed. He thought of Chogoris. He grounded himself in the strength of the home world. It shaped its warriors. It molded them with lightning and wind, with the plains of battle and survival, with the immensity of its sky. It was the scourge of the weak and the inspiration of the strong. As he felt his ghost walk with the spirits of Chogoris, he opened himself up to the warp. He found a thin wound of certainty, a hairline crack in the nothing. He concentrated on it. It changed from crack to thread to rope. It wrapped around his consciousness. It pulled. There was a direction out of the dark and into further destruction. He grasped it as it held him. The possible became the inevitable once more. He returned to a consciousness of the materium. The pull made him look to his right. He saw the shadow of a cave entrance behind where the control mechanisms had been. That was where the orc witch had gone. Ghazan made his way over and entered the tunnel. It was a small one, barely high enough for him to walk without lowering his head. It narrowed at the floor. It felt like a seam in the bedrock. As he followed it, some sections became so constricted he had to pass sideways, the front and back of his armor scraping against the walls. This was not a passageway that would be of any use for construction. It was, he thought, a private route. If the orc psyker had this route for his own use, then either end must be a destination of some importance. His vox bead came to life. The sound of another voice was startling after the silence of the tomb. It was Temur.
Stormseer, are you there?
Ghazan did not respond at first. He knew how the exchange would unfold. He had nothing concrete to tell the Khan about what he was doing. The full truth of his vision was still obscure to him. But he could not ignore Temur. I am here, he said at last.
Where is here?
Beyond the teleporter. I am in pursuit of the orc witch.
You think it still lives?
I am sure of it. There was a thoughtful pause. Temur was at least thinking about what that meant. Then he said,
That greenskin is no longer our concern. We are concluding operations here. The Manufactorum is destroyed. But we still have several heavy vehicles and the bulk of the orc infantry attacking the bastion. Our attention must be there.
So it would seem. May the winds propel you to the battlefield.
We go with you.
Ghazan sighed. He began to detach himself from conversation. It was pointless. My purpose here has not yet been fulfilled.
You have done extraordinary work. Without your intervention, we would still be searching for this plant, and the orcs would still be sending a stream of tanks our way. You have done your duty here. Now it calls you elsewhere.
Will you explain my visions to me?
Only my orders.
I regret, Temur Khan, that fate has decreed a different course for me.
Be reasonable. What threat is a single orc?
This orc? A considerable one. And we do not know that it is alone.
Zadyn Arga?
Temur began again. I am sorry, Ghazan interrupted. But this struggle is preordained. He severed communications. There is no choice. The tunnel's route was jagged. It took Ghazan even further beneath the surface of the moon. Before long, the silence gave way to the sounds of activity. As he drew closer to the source, Ghazan distinguished one orc voice snarling above the others. Commands were being issued. The witch, he guessed. He could also hear the sounds of industry. Closer yet, though still in darkness, he felt the level of psychic energy building once more. It had to be more than just the witch's power. The strength was approaching what he had experienced in the presence of the cages. Light appeared, the noise grew, and then the journey ended. Ghazan stopped in the shadows, a few paces back from a ledge a couple of meters above the ground. He looked into the cave before him and saw just how wrong Temur was. The threat from the Manufactorum had not ended. Though they had lost the means to produce more tanks, the orcs were on the cusp of victory.